This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
With a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. At the bottom of the hour, I have a very special guest. It's really quite amazing. Her name is Allison Gervais, and at the age of 16, back in 2011, she started writing a book on Wattpad. Now, some of you might not have heard of this, but this is a new method for getting your book out there. It is used mostly by young people, but anybody can use it. And the fascinating thing is you put your book out there, you start writing it, perhaps a chapter a week or perhaps a chapter every few days. It depends on how fast a writer you are. But the idea is actually to spread it out, not to put your book all at one time. Anyway, Allison started writing, and she was only 16 years old, and it is amazing that in just a little while, a few years, she had 20 million hits on her book. So, of course, when you have that many hits, a publisher is just going to find you. And publishers are keeping an eye on all of the writers at Wattpad, and because Allison had such a wonderful following, people were just waiting for every new chapter that she put out there. She eventually got a book deal. And so it is very exciting that in August, her first book is coming out. And so she's going to be with us at the bottom of the hour to talk about the entire experience. And she is just a charming and delightful person. And I know that you're going to enjoy learning first about the process, because all of you writers might think about using Wattpad. So I'm looking forward to that. And then before we have Allison at the bottom of the hour, I am so happy to welcome back to Joy on Paper Ace Atkins, who is here to talk about his latest Quinn Colson novel, The Fallen. Hi, Ace.
Hey, Patsy, how are you doing?
Okay, great. Well, last time I had you on, we were talking about your other persona. That's when you were channeling Spencer Books, and So I'm so thrilled now to have you back here to talk about the new Quinn Colson book. You were also on when The Innocents came out. You know, you just managed to keep this whole town going here. I mean, you have really created such a rich and varied personalities in this town that I can see how you are able to keep it fresh.
Well, it's, you know, I think that's the fun of this series. You know, it's not just about one character or one man that you're following and his thing. It's really about a whole community. It's about a whole county. And so I have no shortages of stories to tell.
Well, that's for sure. And as you said, you have so many wonderful characters in there. And that, of course, your readers, the first novel, The Rangers, of course, introduced us to Quinn, and about the fact that he was a ranger and that he served in Afghanistan and Iraq and sort of laid the foundation. And then, of course, his wonderful, and this is, I think, one of the best characters, of course, is Lily, who is you have created such a wonderful, strong character, female character here.
Well, thanks. That's something I wanted to do from the get-go. It's very important to me. I think, with people who read thrillers or crime novels, I mean, honestly, so many male authors make the mistake of, they really write terrible female characters, and they often have them as sex objects, or they have them as the damsel in distress, or, and that kind of stuff. And for me, my background as a journalist and covering law enforcement, that kind of thing, is I was very fortunate to meet a lot of strong women who worked in that world in law enforcement as cops and detectives. They were just fantastic, and I had to represent them authentically, and that's where Lily Virgil came about.
Well, she is a great character. Of course, in the last book, she took over as sheriff. The last book opened so dramatically with this horrific girl on fire,
It was one of the most frightening openings for a book I ever read. And then this one, of course, opens with a bank robbery. A little bit more humor here, but that you managed to put into a bank robbery.
Sure.
But it was, of course, another dramatic entry into this world of the people in this community. So tell, for the listeners, tell them a little bit more about the book, what you want to reveal, because there's, of course, there's some things we don't want to reveal. We want them to read it, but what do you want to reveal about this
book? Well, The Fallen is number 7 in the Quinn Colson books about Tuberville County, Mississippi. And Tuberville County, Mississippi, I think, is a fictional county, but certainly very accurate and true to this part of the country, very true to the Deep South. And that's really what I wanted to do, is I wanted to take a rural county, and I wanted to be able to use that as far as the people, the history, the background of it, to move a lot of stories through. And it's not just a, you know, crime of the week or whatever, but crime certainly does come to that county, and it does, you know, affect the people. And in this particular book, it starts off with a trio of bank robbers knocking off a small rural bank in Jericho, Mississippi, which is in Tuberville County. And they do it with a lot of style and kind of an unusual manner. They're actually dressed up as Donald Trump when they rob the bank, and they say some things that I cannot repeat on radio. But that kicks off the book, and you know, the question is they do it so effectively and so good. Quinn, as a former Army Ranger, recognizes that these guys had some military training, and the book begins from there.
And it's one action after another, and it's very exciting. And then, of course, so many of your other characters, you know, that have come through the book. So although it's a standalone, I always tell, as a matter of fact, I don't have to tell people to start at the beginning, because when I had CJ Box on, I asked him to recommend somebody to read other than himself. And he said, well, everybody should read Ace Atkins' book, and they should start with The Ranger.
Yeah, what a good guy. I appreciate that. He's one of my favorite writers. You know, I know CJ, and he's a buddy of mine, but I'm a big fan of his books. And I think if you read those books, Joe Pickett books, as far as the way that they are, they stand on their own, but also you can read them. You get more out of them as you read all of them, and you see the whole family dynamic, and you see how things from the past sometimes play into the present. And that's really what I wanted to do with Quinn Colson and his world in Mississippi.
Well, I agree, because I love the C.J. Pickett family. When I interviewed him the first time, many of my female listeners didn't understand that there was this female component to it. They thought it was just going to be a Western book, and they liked that, and they appreciated that, and they started reading it because of that. And I said in, like, with your book, I think women will relate very much to Lily, because she is strong, and that's the you know, that's the way most women think of themselves.
Well, so, and I think that C.J. Box has terrific female characters in this book, everywhere from, you know, throughout the series. He really is a singular example, I think, in that world, as far as writing you know, exciting thrillers where you do have strong male characters, but you also have strong female characters as well. But certainly that's something that, you know, you have to be aware of, which is, the truth is, most of your readers are women. I think that women probably there's probably a point where they're going to be reading a book, and if they're anything like my wife, they're going to see what the hero is doing. They're going to roll their eyes a little bit. And so, you know, we've got to be true to you know, reality. And like I said, in my line of work, where I was covering a lot of law enforcement, a lot of wonderful, wonderful, strong women that I met in that world.
And of course, I have to remind all my listeners that, of course, you were here in Tampa, so we have a great affection for you, because you were right here in Tampa working at which newspaper was it then? It's changed so many times.
Well, I started out, I was originally at the St. Petersburg Times just as a lowly correspondent, and then I became full-time staff writer for several years at the now-defunct Tampa Tribune. But it was great experience, wonderful stuff. At some point, I'm probably going to go back and write about Florida at some point, but being here in Mississippi and writing about the Deep South, which is where I was born and where my family is from, is very seductive to me. But Florida is as well. I think at some point I'll probably go back to writing about Florida, because I really miss that world and rich, talk about rich, crazy characters.
Well, we have plenty of rich. Well, we have rich characters in many ways.
Yep, absolutely.
Absolutely. Of course, I should mention that you were nominated for a Pulitzer Prize while you were working here at the newspaper. And so we are all very proud of you. If ever you decide to come back and do research here, then you have to come over to the studio here in Clearwater, because, of course,
you know how
beautiful Clearwater is.
It's my gosh. It's funny. When I started The Fallen, I had actually just gone down, and I was at the Tampa Bay Times Festival of Reading, which is one of the best festivals in the country. It's just terrific. And afterwards, I actually rented a house in Treasure Island, and I worked for about a week just getting into The Fallen, and that's where I started the book. So I always return back to Florida in some shape or form.
Okay, that's good. We like that. Speaking of strong female characters, you also did that in your when we put your other hat on. I don't know, what kind of hat do you need when you're writing in for Boston, when you're writing Robert B. Parker?
You just need a Red Sox cap. That's
Red Sox. Oh, well, of course. And there, you've really expanded Susan's role in those books.
Yeah, I think that, you know, in those, the people that, your listeners who know Susan Silverman from the Spencer novels, is one of the things when I started writing Spencer, when the estate hired me, is some of the complaints that I had seen from the readers is people, they didn't like Susan very much. And I actually had a note from the editor at the time said, don't worry about Susan, don't put her in as much. People, she drives them crazy. And I really felt like, as a longtime reader of those books, is it wasn't a problem. I think with Susan, I think she didn't have enough to do, and I think that's what probably in some of the books, and the books that I really love Susan, she had more of an active role and was a stronger character. And so I, instead of going less Susan, I really ended up going more Susan, and I think that she just kind of reverted back to the way she was originally drawn by Mr. Parker, which is very strong, feisty, independent, and very intricate to the stories, and not just somebody that Spencer took out to dinner from time to time. And I wanted to make her a core part of the series, and I think I've been able to do
that. Oh, you've succeeded. I think it's made the dynamics of the relationship so much more interesting. So
Well, thanks. I think it does, too. And I really, one of the ways that I did that is I was very fortunate when I was hired by the state. I was hired by Joan Parker herself. And Joan Parker was an amazing, you talk about a tough, independent, strong woman. That is Joan Parker. Oh, my gosh. And getting to know Joan Parker, who Bob always famously said was the original model for Susan, I just went back to any time I write about Susan, I think about Joan. And had I not been fortunate enough to have known Joan, I don't think I could be writing the series as effectively. She taught me a lot about those characters, a lot about that world, and I was really lucky to know her.
I think you've enhanced the entire series by increasing Susan's role, and I really love it, and I think most of the readers do too. From the people I've talked to, they always say, "Wow, they're so good. The books are so so
great."
Often that when a writer takes over for another writer, the books just fall off. And your case, it's I think just the opposite. You've done a wonderful.
Well, I love that character, and I take the job very seriously.
Yeah, and I think it shows.
It's not just a paycheck for me. I would not be doing what I do had I not been, if I was not a fan of Robert B. Parker's work. And so I feel very indebted to keeping that legacy alive, and I love doing it. It's a lot of fun.
Well, now, you know, of course, you are now, you're sort of wearing that hat of the Southern writer of crime writer.
Yep.
That you've been crowned. They have to give you a crown here. Of course, it's funny, you don't sound Southern at all.
Well, it's a strange thing. You know, I get that. I did an interview recently with John Grisham, and we were talking, and he said, he's funny. He said, you don't sound Southern at all. And I've never had an accent. My dad did not have an accent. And it's just, we have kind of a flat. My uncle, I don't know. I think it's an Atkins family trait. I also, when I was a kid, I was born in Alabama, and I went to spend most of my life in Alabama. But for a few years when I was young, I lived different places as my dad's job took him to different areas as a football coach. And so I think that probably had something to do with it, too. But I'll tell you, if I was actually talking to somebody trying to get a deal on a muffler or something, I could really play it up.
Yeah, I was going
to
say
if
that.
If I was trying to get a deal. Yeah, if I was trying to talk to somebody about getting a deal on something, I probably could play it up a little bit more.
Then,
but, yeah,
then you could be a good old boy.
Yeah, my dad didn't have that, and my grandfather didn't have that, and they were about as Alabama as you get. It's just it's a strange quirk. It's often very very regional.
Now, of course, you live in Oxford, Mississippi, which of course is the home of William Faulkner. Sort of, you're in the shadow there of William Faulkner. Did he have a big influence on you as a writer?
Yeah, definitely, and I think more so since I started living here. William Faulkner, of course, is the Mount Rushmore of great American writers and really great novelist, period, you know. I was familiar with Faulkner, but probably more 20 years ago, more familiar with Faulkner in the way that you are from being force-fed to read Sound and the Fury. But living here, you know, I digested all of Faulkner and really sought to understand him. And they're not easy books. They're very complex books, and he's not an easy person to understand. But I was fortunate to be in an area where a lot of people knew him. They knew him personally. And one of my very good friends was Dean Faulkner Wells, who was Faulkner's niece and was essentially raised by William Faulkner. And through that, you know, you got to kind of know Faulkner beyond the postage stamp and the statue. And he was just a regular guy. You know, he worked in Hollywood for a while. He liked to watch Charlie Chan movies. And he was kind of affable, kind of funny guy. He just was one of the geniuses of the 20th century. But yeah, there's a lot. I mean, the whole idea behind the Quinn books of having a county that you have all this action and interrelated characters and family dynamics and histories and all that kind of stuff all came from the inspiration by Faulkner.
You're right. When we're in high school, somewhere along the line, they sort of force feed a Faulkner, which I think turns people off. And it does.
It really does. And the worst thing that they do is I know in college, the first thing they had us read was Sound and the Fury. And it's a very complicated book. And it's very complicated as a professional writer, now going back and seeing how he did it. And stylistically, it's a very experimental novel. It's a very complicated novel. It's you've really got to understand the what he's doing there. That's not a good thing to introduce to high school or college students, to get them to a love of the language.
So how do you recommend, what's a great introduction to Faulkner? How should we start with Faulkner?
It's a funny thing. Years ago when I first moved here and I was trying to really make a concerted effort, you can't live here and say you read Faulkner and not really read Faulkner. And I was reading Absalom and having a somewhat of a difficult time getting through it. And I was buying some lumber at a local lumber yard. I bought a very, very old farmhouse, and I was helping with the renovation, bought some lumber, and I was bringing it back to the farmhouse. And the guy who was checking my tag at the lumber yard got out to make sure that, you know, I got the right lumber and I didn't get more boards than I was supposed to. And he looked out and he saw that Absalom was in my passenger seat. He said, that's a real good book, but I tell you what, he said, I always found The Unvanquished to be much more accessible. So I went back and I read the Unvanquished, and I was damned if he wasn't right. It was more accessible, and you kind of get into that understanding of Faulkner from that point of getting to understand what he's doing, and then you gradually move into something like The Sound of the Fury or Absalom, and you understand kind of the unleashed genius that he had. But anyway, so that's you know, people continue to surprise you with their knowledge of Faulkner. So I think certain people that are maybe craftsmen and people that have that kind of skill level sometimes understand the genius of the writers like that. And one of the best writers here in the area and certainly nationally was Larry Brown. And Larry was completely self-educated and one of the most well-read people I've ever met in my life, and never went to college. And, for that matter, Faulkner didn't either.
But Ace, I want to thank you so much for being on today. I think that The Fallen, again, it's fresh. You manage to come out with new things all the time, and it's always exciting to read your books. And I want to thank you for being on to talk about The Fallen.
I really appreciate it. Always a pleasure.
And I know we're going to alternate, and we'll be back with, when's the next Spencer coming out?
Spencer, as always, will be back in May.
Okay. I look forward to talking to you in May with the next Spencer, okay?
Thanks so much.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye now.
Hi. Okay. Well, that was really great. I love talking to Ace all the time. Now, before we do a book buzz moment with Rita Moreau, I wanted to remind everyone that next week on Tuesday, Bill Larson will be with us for the Legal Eagle section of the program. And he is going to be talking about several things. First, he's going to be responding to some of your questions about plays. A number of you have submitted plays over the summer to various organizations. And there are special rules when it comes to copyrights for plays that are unlike what you would find when you are registering a book. So it's very important that you listen next week, and Bill will explain the differences and why a copyright for a play is different. I also wanted to remind you that if you have other questions about copyrights, whether it is about trademarking or your copyright for your book, send the question in to me at patsy.radio@joyofpaper.com, and I will be happy to submit the question to Bill, and he will answer it. Because one of the things that happened recently is another of our writers, our local writers, has written a lovely children's book. It's really nice, and she is thinking about marketing her products. And coming out with, she's really very excited about the prospect of talking to people in China to actually produce her characters. But before she does that, I've already told her she has to go and seriously look at trademarking them, because once you send your sketches off to somebody wherever, even in the United States, but if you send it overseas, definitely, if you are not protected, then anyone can copy those designs. So it's something, you know, there's trademark stealing all the time, but on the other hand, it can protect you, especially, you know, well, look at Disney. They protect their trademarks and they win. And if you have a good trademark lawyer, he will protect your designs so that nobody can use them. And if it's something, in this case, I just met her, and I think her designs are very, very innovative and very clever and quite unusual. And I hope that she will go ahead before she starts putting her book out there. She has not yet actually put it out there for everybody to see, and she has not put out the characters. So she's trying to put it all in a bundle. But when you want to do that, go to a lawyer. And Bill Larson is just a fantastic lawyer. He is my lawyer. I have 4 patents, and he has done my patents for me. He's also my intellectual property lawyer. And this is so important. Please do not use, many years ago, I used a lawyer that everyone said was really great. He was not in the business of intellectual property, and he made a mess for me. And it was a real, real difficult thing to overcome. So make sure that you use somebody like Bill Larson at Larson & Larson. And I just want to remind you that Bill Larson will give you a free consultation. Not just that. If you go into his office, he will actually walk you through the steps of registering your copyright so that you make sure that you do it correctly and that he doesn't charge you anything for. When you do more advanced work, when you want him to review a contract, of course, there's a charge. And if you want him to trademark something, remember, you cannot copyright the title of your book. But if you have a title or a subject in your book that is something you want protected, you can go the trademark route. And this is very important when you are a writer, because I can tell you right now, I know, have seen many cases where people have been completely ripped off because they did not protect themselves early enough in the game. And the process is actually do it before you start releasing things and sending things out to people, because that's the time that you have to protect yourself. And now we're just going to do a book buzz moment with Rita Moreau, and I want to thank her so much. She's been reading books for us and coming out with new reviews, and she's always so much fun. And then when we have a few commercial breaks after that, we'll come back and we're going to talk to Allison Gervais about her wonderful, wonderful new book called In 27 Days. So let's go to Rita.
Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper. Hey, are you looking for a great cozy mystery you can curl up with on a lazy afternoon this summer? Of course you are. And I have the perfect one for you. Dorothy Howe's Handbags and Homicide. I love this book. By the way, this is a recommendation from Patsy's sister, Natalie, a connoisseur of cozy mysteries. So listen up. Here's the buzz. Witty, smart, always chick to die for, despite a less than glam checking account balance, Haley Randolph has it all. Gucci, Prada, Chanel, Coach, Burberry, and she'd kill for the latest Louis Vuitton handbag. Seems she's not the only one. When someone's passion for designer purses leads to murder, Haley goes shopping for a killer to clear her name. Handbags and Homicide is book 1 of 10 in the Haley Randolph Mystery Series by Dorothy Howe. Get it today and enjoy this cozy, and the fashion tips. Hey, this is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper. For more of my suggestions on the mysteries you should not miss, go to our webpage, www.radio-joyonpaper.com, and click on Book Buzz. That's radio-joyonpaper. Rita Moreau, buzzing off for now.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose.
Mike is offering 50% off his 4-pack special.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-871-1543 and use the promo code PATSY, and Mike will offer you free shipping. Once again, that's 800-871-1543, promo code PATSY, P-A-T-Z-I.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper Allison Gervais, who is celebrating the release of her first novel in 27 days. Allison is amazing. She's a young woman who started writing when she was, well, she started writing, I think, when she was a baby practically, but she started writing for Wattpad in 2011. Hi, Allison, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hello.
Okay, did I pronounce your name right? Do you pronounce it Gervais or Gervais?
We say it Gervais. We kind of Americanized it.
Okay, good. Okay, well, I wanted to say how very impressed I am with you and with your new book. It's so exciting. You are, of course, the winner of the Wattie Award on Wattpad, and you also, I think, you got the number one title in adventure category, right?
Yes, I did, yeah, for the Wattie Awards in 2012.
Well, and now your book has come out, and it's called In 27 Days. It is a wonderful book, very, very heartfelt, very moving. And I want you to, we'll first talk about the book, and then after that I want to talk about Wattpad in general, because some of my listeners aren't aware of what a terrific site this is and the enormous potential. So let's first talk about the book, because it's a very serious subject, but you've written about it in such a compelling way that I think it's an important book for all young readers, but just anybody would enjoy reading this book.
Oh, well, thank you. That really means a lot. It is a pretty sensitive subject in today's society, but it's one I think needs to be addressed. And I think young adult lit is a good way to reach kind of a younger generation in the way that maybe sit-down talks at school might not, because, I mean, who really pays attention in those? You know, from my experience, I was in high school not too long ago.
And so tell us the premise of the book.
So the premise of In 27 Days is about a girl whose classmate commits suicide. So when she goes to his funeral, she meets death personified, and she's offered a deal to go back in time 27 days to stop this classmate from killing himself.
And from there, the story just reveals itself with really one emotion after another. The opening of the story, of course, is that she goes to school. She discovers that this classmate, who she had not really interacted with a lot, had committed suicide, and something in in the event touched her so that she wanted to know more and wanted to do something about it.
Right. That's exactly it.
And, you know, and the main character, of course, her name is Hadley Jameson. I think you've drawn her very well. I was impressed with how you brought in sort of her family background. You made her very approachable. I know that right away I was interested in her and what her life was. And I think that was so important in telling the story.
Right. I think my editor called the Hadley in every kind of girl, which kind of means pretty much anyone could have found themselves in maybe a similar situation in school or, you know, struggling with math classes or something like that, or, you know, not really knowing where they belong. Those are kind of emotions and things that a lot of people feel. So I think Hadley is a relatable character in that way.
Exactly. And it was funny because in this case, of course, she comes from a well-to-do family, and the isolation mm-hmm. of her life really from her parents and how she has to deal with things on her own is an important part of the book.
Right, right. So Hadley, for all intent and purpose, has this perfect life with wealthy parents, and she could really have basically anything that she wants, but she's really not quite understanding that there's still something missing in her life and that she's really quite alone most of the time, and that it kind of upsets her in a way that she doesn't really understand until she meets Archer and his family.
Well, of course, Archer is an interesting character. And I, of course, I have... How did you draw upon this character? Did you know somebody like this? Or...
You know, Archer just kind of developed on his own. He started to take his own personality when I first started writing. But I think in terms of an author relating to their characters, I sort of, interestingly enough, relate more to Archer just because I've struggled with depression and anxiety and, you know, struggling with suicidal thoughts for a long time, years. And it's, you know, kind of an ongoing struggle. And I think the frustration and sadness that I sometimes still feel kind of worked its way into Archer's character.
Because one's heart just goes out to Archer as we read this story.
Right, right.
You have really written a very compelling story, one that I think is so important, really, for young people. Why I like this book is that there are no superpowers in it. There are no, you know, it's the magic is only of going, being able to go back in time. And for young people to read this book, I hope that they realize they don't have to go back in time. They can start right now, today, and look at things in a different way. And keep in mind that you don't want to ever be in a position that you want to go back 27 days. You want to do what's right and pay attention to people and be more sensitive to what's going on around you. And then you don't have to go back 27 days.
Right. That's exactly it. And, you know, I'm thinking time travel doesn't sound too pleasant if it were an actual possibility anyway.
Exactly. Well, you know, now, of course, you were 16 when you started this book.
Yes. I was a junior in high school.
And now when you started... Now, explain to people about Wattpad a little bit, because now when you started this book, you put it on slowly, bit by bit. You didn't put the entire book on, right?
Right, because I hadn't written the entire manuscript. It was a work in progress, so whenever I would write a new chapter, then I would post it, and then so on.
Well, this is the exciting thing about Wattpad, and that it's something that's very... active. I mean, if people can go there, they can see the stories as they are progressing.
Exactly. Wattpad is a really great platform, and I have a lot of authors that I like to follow that I really enjoy their work. And, you know, when you can't always make it to Barnes & Noble, it's good to just pull up the app on your phone, and you can read virtually anywhere. And you can also post virtually anywhere, so it's really cool. It's a very great platform. And I think A lot of other published authors, to my knowledge, have started creating Wattpad accounts as well. Like, I want to say I stumbled across Margaret Atwood's Wattpad account once. I don't know if it's still there, but I thought, oh my gosh, that is so cool.
Well, now, of course, you are on Wattpad, you are known as At Honor in the Rain.
Yes.
Okay, so what was the process? You wrote your first chapter and you decided to go to Wattpad and post it, right?
Yes.
And then how often after that did you continue writing? How long did it take you to go, you know, write the whole book on Wattpad?
I want to say I started posting in about December of 2011, and then about May of 2012, I had finished with about 35 chapters, I think. So it was a couple months.
And in that period of time, in the beginning, you had how many readers, and how many clicks did it sort of build up to?
You know, it wasn't much at first. I think once they started getting closer to the end of the story, it sort of picked up in popularity. And I really don't know how that happens, maybe just by word of mouth. I'm not sure, but it was a slow progression for it to really get out there.
And so people click on, and you're able to see the number of people when they click on?
Yeah, it has a count.
It has a count. Okay, so yeah, let's explain it to the listeners who haven't seen it. So because it is a fascinating platform. So you put your first chapter on, and at least some people started clicking on it. So that encouraged you to continue.
Yeah, definitely. And I already knew from the beginning it was a story I was going to finish anyway, whether or not how well it was received on Wattpad. So that was just a bonus that people seemed to enjoy it.
And so as you're going along and the months pass and you get more clicks, and I understand that you got at least 20 million, probably more, which is...
Less. I don't keep track of the number too much, but I want to say last time I checked it was 24.5 million maybe.
Oh, not bad. 24.
Not bad at all.
Not bad. I mean, it's exciting when you think about it that 24 million... time somebody has clicked on to read your words.
It's a little overwhelming sometimes when I stop to think about it, because Wattpad reaches, it's very much an international platform. So I've had people message me all the way from India or the Philippines or the UK or even Australia, and I'm just like baffled that it actually made it that far.
Well,
it
is a wonderful thing. And I know I had spoken to some Indian writers, and they are always so excited about Wattpad because they also post in English on Wattpad.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a great way for them to actually, they use it as a practice format. But they learn so much. They say they learn so much from reading the stories that are on Wattpad.
Yeah, definitely. That's great to hear. I didn't know that, but woohoo!
Oh, yeah. And now, of course, not all the books on Wattpad are of the same quality. Some are, as I said, some are good. Some are, you know, some are done, you know, haphazardly. Some people don't continue. Some people start and then they just sort of fizzle out. But you certainly had staying power. And how exactly did it go from being a Wattpad wonder to a real book?
So my editor actually found me on Wattpad, and she sent me a message and said, hey, I know this is going to sound a little strange, but are you interested in traditional publishing? I work for this imprint, and I'm really excited about your story, and I'd like the chance to talk to you. And so I'm thinking at 19 years old, oh my gosh, yes, let's publish my book, let's do this. And so we got on the phone, and it was a few months before I was actually offered my contract, because there are a lot of hoops you have to jump through, and it's a very long process. So this was back in 2015. So almost 2 years this has been in the works and just released today. So I was very, very, very fortunate. You know, it was truly a blessing that I was discovered on Wattpad. So,
well, I know that publishers and agents are watching Wattpad, and they are looking for those stories that they think are significant and that have potential. I had another, my first Wattpad author was Ashley Royer. And
Oh, right. Oh, she's lovely.
I love Ashley. She is so funny. She's she's hilarious. And of course, she wrote Remember to Forget, which is also a very powerful story. And I was, when I interviewed her, that was really my first introduction into Wattpad. And I have, since then, I have been so impressed. And I now go and look for stories there. And I was, of course, your publisher is Blink, HarperCollins. Blink is just a wonderful publishing house.
Oh, they're fantastic. They're fantastic. I love them. It's been a great experience working with them.
And this is exactly an example of what I tell writers, that it is not an overnight thing. There are times.
No, it's not.
It's not. And now, has the story over time from what you put on Wattpad, that of course you took this basics book, but there was editing involved, so it's not exactly the same story that is on Wattpad.
Yeah, no, it's changed. I went through about three different drafts, and so the third draft was the one that my editor was given, and then, if I'm counting correctly, I want to say it was about 11 months of editing. So it was very long, and it passed through a couple different editors before we got the finished product.
Well, that's the way it always goes in publishing. It's not an overnight thing, and that's why that when somebody like Blink and of course HarperCollins puts out a book, it's a good book, and it has a real potential here to make, you know, an impact. And that's what we want to do. We want to get this book out to as many people as possible, so that they can read the story. I think anybody who reads the story will be moved by the story and certainly impressed with your writing, because you are very talented. And of course,
thank you.
You know, you just graduated, right, from university?
Yeah, CSU Pueblo.
Okay, and a surprise, surprise, a degree in creative writing.
Yeah, English with a creative writing emphasis.
Well, you know, that's almost not fair. You should have, like, taken, you know, something weird, like chemistry or something, because creative writing came too easy for you, I have a feeling.
It was actually, some classes were a bit more difficult than others because we explored a lot of different genres. So for example, in my opinion, I don't think poetry is my strong suit, but I had to take a poetry class. I don't think nonfiction is my strong suit, but I had to take a nonfiction class, and lots of academic writing. And it was a challenge in some cases, so I think I graduated with a better understanding of all sorts of writing and not just specifically creative writing.
Well, I think you have, it's of course a natural talent with you, because I think you were writing when you were like 4 years old, right?
Yeah, and my mom still has this storybook. The first story I ever wrote, I want to say I was about five, and it was just about this frog that I don't know. It just happened. It was a story about a frog king.
Well, I'm sure that you'll come back to it. Margaret George, who writes great historical fiction, she started about your age, and she was writing about a turtle. And of course, now, like a million, I don't know, something like maybe 20 million books later.
Oh, my gosh.
She's still writing occasionally about a turtle, and as a matter of fact, she has a turtle that's 35 years old. So it's, you know, it's,
oh my goodness,
yeah. So it's fun.
Great.
That's a wonderful thing about writing. Now, you know what? Of course, I assume you're writing something now.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm
always writing.
Always writing. So how far are you along on the second novel?
I don't know how much I can say about it, but it's still a relatively new piece, and it's definitely a work in progress. So hopefully there's a positive outcome.
Well, I'm sure there will be. And that's the nice thing about having, of course, working with a great publishing house. And I understand you have a wonderful literary agent.
I sure do. She is amazing. I was very fortunate to be able to sign on with Shannon. It's been a wonderful experience with her.
So, of course, Shannon, that's Shannon Hassan, who is with Marcel Lyon Literary Agency. And
yes.
How did you get the agent? Did the agent after the publisher contacted you, right?
Yes, that came after. And it was all thanks to Christina June. It was entirely her that this managed to happen, because we got in touch when we with a group of other 2017 debuts, and so we were chatting because, you know, we're both as Blink, we wanted to get to know each other, and I was just expressing my sadness that I hadn't found an agent yet, and she said, well, hey, give me your manuscript and I'll have my agent pass it around their office and we'll see what happens. And then lo and behold, a few days later, I'm in touch with Shannon, and the rest is history.
Well, it's fantastic, because it is wonderful to be able to work with a great agent. They're in the business to make sure that you have a long, long career, so that they can have a client for many, many years. So it's fantastic. Now,
you
have a website. What is your website?
It is AllisonJervis.com.
Okay, and let's spell it for them. First of all, you spell Allison with one L.
Yes. Right.
Okay. So and the last name is Gervais, and they can find you there. And of course, are you still on Wattpad?
I am. Yes.
Are you writing things on Wattpad now?
I definitely still try to, but it's been a while.
It's been a while, and of course,
for my last semester of my degree, I had to take 8 classes, so writing as a whole was kind of put on hold, so I could just make it through those last few months.
And the wonderful thing about you also is that your dedication to the subject of your book is important. And tell us a little bit about your volunteer work and what you are doing in the area of suicide prevention.
Well, last September, I got the chance to participate in the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention's Out of the Darkness Walk. It was for suicide awareness, and we got to go up to Coors Field in Denver, and there were, I want to say, thousands of people there just walking to support the cause. And the AFSP's kind of manifesto is to reduce the suicide rate. So that's definitely what we're hoping for, and I hope we can achieve that soon. And well, for example, this past semester, I got to work with the Boys and Girls Club, and unfortunately, there were a few suicides that happened during my time there, so it was heartbreaking, but I really hope I was able to touch some of the kids there in a positive light, so here's hoping, but I definitely like to do more in the future to promote awareness.
Well, I think that your book certainly will, and I hope that anyone out, really all of my listeners who have young people in their lives, I think this is a great gift for them, because it is a book that tells us, it's a contemporary story of a young girl as much as about the subject of suicide, because I think that, as I said, Hadley is an accessible girl, and the things that she's going through are something that young people can relate to. So I think your book is important. I hope that a lot of young people will get it, and that they'll carry it in libraries. And you know, it's an important subject, and everyone should be so proud, and I'm sure your family is so proud of you for tackling this subject and for getting, you know, a book deal at your age. It's amazing. And You just have to be so proud of yourself, because if you help even just one life, then your life is worth so much. And I know that this book and your volunteer work will touch many more than one life. So you just have to be so, so very proud of yourself, Allison.
I am, and it's kind of overwhelming to think about the fact that I'm 21 and I've got a book published. But I think I'm definitely on the right path. I think this is what I'm meant to do.
Well, you are. And the thing is, you know, sometimes I have run across authors who like get depressed that they don't have a book out every year. And I said, no. And sometimes you have to just live life between books, because then you have something to write about. So you don't fall into that trap ever of saying every year I have to have a book out, because there are times when you just have to enjoy life, get out there and really smell the roses and do trips and have fun. And then you can and meet people, and then you can write about them.
Yeah, no, that's definitely good advice.
Okay. Well, be strong for yourself and be strong for all of the people who admire you. I think it's so impressive that 24 million plus times people have clicked on your work, and it means that you are really talented.
Well, thank you so much. That really means a lot.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper. I know that we'll have you back when your next book comes out, and we will look forward to it. And it's an honor, really, for me to have you on Joy on Paper.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy this launch, because it is so much fun. It is just revel in it and have lots of fun.
I definitely plan to.
Okay. Bye-bye now. It was great talking to you.
Bye. Great talking to you, too. Bye.
Oh, what a sweetheart. Wow. She is delightful. And as I said, the book is really well done. Of course, as she said, it took like many months of editing. And that's what always happens when you write a book. You're not going to have it out the minute you type the end on your typewriter. So, but she worked hard, and it's a great read. And I like her character, main character, Hadley. Very a fascinating character, actually. She could do more with that character in another story, because it's very well drawn. I want to remind you, too, that it's almost the end of the month, and Irene Goodman Literary Agency, if you go to their website, you can see that Irene Goodman is offering her critiques. And if you are an author, and if you are serious about your work, you need to, at least in the beginning when you're writing, get a good critique from somebody who knows what she is saying. And Irene Goodman knows what she is saying. Her critiques are up for auction. All the money goes to charity. But she will then do a critique for you. She will not only tell you about your writing, she will tell you about where she thinks your book will fit in into the business market. Because, of course, Irene is one of the best agents in New York City. It's well worth the money. The auction is at the first of every month, on the first day of every month, and it runs for 2 or 3 days until somebody gets the winning number. It's around $500, sometimes less, sometimes more, but it is well worth the investment to have a critique from Irene Goodman, and she will give you some really, really great advice. And meanwhile, I just want to tell everyone that it's so important that you get out there and write. And also say something nice to somebody today, and I will say something nice to Big Ed. And thank you, Big Ed, for everything. And have just a wonderful day. And start writing. Go to Wattpad. My goodness, 20 million clicks. Can you imagine that? Boggles the mind. Bye-bye now.